97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. 901 here, 97.5, The Fanatic. Got an hour left. Checkpoint Radio at that time. Let's pay some bills, shall we? Small businesses are the backbone of our local communities, and right now they could use our help. Introducing 97.5, The Fanatic's operation, Shop Local. Our initiative is to set up to encouraging gift card purchases from your local businesses and to highlight those offering home delivery or curbside pickup. Business owners, go to 97.5thefanatic.com and list yours in our free directory. The Fanatic is promoting this for our listeners to review and patronize whenever possible. Operation Shop Local, because we are all in this together, from the Beasley Media Group at 97.5 The Fanatic. We are all in this together. All right? I'm in it. Dylan's in it. Tyler's in it. Pat Egan's in it. You're in it. It's brutal, I know. We'll get through it. We'll get through it together. I'm here for you. If you want to chat about anything you want, it's an open forum, not just Eagles. I've been talking about the Eagles tonight that I believe they aren't quite as good as they were since free agency began. I don't like the fact they lost Jordan Howard. They lost Big V. They lost offensive line depth. Malcolm Jenkins, their heart and soul. Also, their best safety. Nigel Bradham, their best linebacker, gone. Nelson Aguilar, eh. Corey Clement, didn't do much since the Super Bowl. Jason Peters, probably on his last leg. They re-signed Jalen Mills. They re-signed Rodney McLeod. Hassan Ridgeway, they re-signed. They picked up Will Parks, a safety from the Broncos, local kid. Darius Slay, the big trade for a third and a fifth. 3 years, $50 million extension, $30 million guaranteed. Nate Sudfeld, big deal. 1 year, $2 million, guaranteed. And linebacker from San Diego, Jatavius Brown, 1 year deal. It's Darius Slay, Javon Hargrave, and that's it. The rest is just filler. Whereas if you look at the guys they lost, they're key guys. Big V was a key. Jordan Howard was a key. Malcolm Jenkins was a key. Nigel Bradham was a key. Jason Peters was a key. Nelson Aguilar, Corey Clement, not so much. He got hurt. They did not tender him. They allowed him to become an unrestricted free agent, so looking for a home is Corey Clement right now. I guess the depth chart right now is Miles Sanders and Boston Scott. Am I wrong? Am I right on that, Dylan?
Yeah, that's what it is now. I'm not too worried about that, though, because they've shown a propensity to be able to just find guys as undrafted free agents. They brought Corey Clement, who's productive, Josh Adams, who didn't last year long, but he was productive for us.
He led the team in rushing.
They'll probably find someone.
And Boston Scott was okay last year. He was fine. Miles Sanders had a great year, tremendous year for a rookie. I'm a big Jordan Howard fan, all right? I think I've made that clear. Would I have loved to have seen him here, but I could be wrong. Miles Sanders might be the every down guy. He got 1,300 yards from scrimmage last year. Three touchdowns on the ground. I'm not sure how many he had through the air. I know Jordan Howard had one through the air in Green Bay. He had two on the ground in Green Bay, and he had three others on the ground. He has a nose for the end zone, 30 touchdowns in 3.5 years. I just love the kid, and I think he's going to do well in Miami. I think Miami is on the rise. How about Miami? Signing Byron Jones. They have the fifth pick in the draft. They have three first-round picks. There's talk that they might do something with Cincinnati. See, what does Cincinnati do? Joe Burrow is praying that they make that trade. Cincinnati is like football hell, especially if you're a quarterback. Miami signed Jordan Howard. He wanted to go to Miami, a team that was awful in the beginning of last year. You know, they went 5-4 down the stretch. Miami did. The Dolphins. New England went 4-5 down the stretch. They had a better last nine-game run than New England did Miami. I give them a ton of credit because, again, the first two games of the season last year, they got beat by like 94 points combined. It was just a mess. End up beating the Eagles. They go five. They beat the Patriots, knocked them out of a first-round bye. They went 5-4 down the stretch. New England went 4-5 down the stretch. By the way, how does Eric Flowers keep getting paid? How's that possible? He stunk with the Giants. He's my guy, too. He went to Miami. He just got 3 years, $30 million. What? For a guy who can't play? Jordan Howard, 2 years, $10 million. So you got Eric Flowers making $10 million a year, Jordan Howard making $5 million a year. Doesn't make sense. New England lost Kyle Van Noy. Linebacker goes to the Dolphins. 4 years, $51 million, $30 million guaranteed. You know, I got a question. I got a question. The Patriots. What are the Patriots going to do? They signed Bo Allen. Great. They lost the GOAT, but they signed Bo Allen, right? They got Bo Allen. They lost the GOAT, but they signed Bo Allen, right? 2 years, $8 million. Damir Bird, wide receiver, 1 year, 2.5, no big deal. They re-signed Devin McCourty, 2 years, $23 million. Adrian Phillips, they re-signed. Matthew Slater, 2 year extension. Joe Thuney, they franchise tagged him. But they lost Brady. 2 years, $50 million. No trade, no tag clause to Tampa Bay. They lost linebacker Jamie Collins to Detroit. 3 years, $30 million, 18.6 guaranteed. And like I said, they lost linebacker Kyle Van Noy to Miami. 4 years, $51 million, 30 guaranteed. That's a lot of losses, especially the GOAT. What's the is there going to be some parity in the East now, the AFC East?
They're tanking for Trevor Lawrence.
Think so?
I
it's funny you say that. I have a very good friend who's a New England fan. We talked about this yesterday. He said, I don't think they're going to be as bad as they can get Trevor Lawrence. I don't think they're going to be as bad. But that would be the guy. He's the guy. Trevor Lawrence is a stud.
Yeah, they won't fall that far.
They won't fall that far.
That is a tougher division now. I mean, the Jets are still, I don't have any faith in them, but the Bills have gotten a lot better. And the Dolphins, depending on what they get, if they get Tua or a Justin Herbert, if they get a good quarterback, they could be competitive.
Miami?
Yeah, if they get either Tua or Justin Herbert, they could, I don't know if they stay at their current quarterback situation, if they'll be that.
If you're Cincinnati, do you take the three first-round picks? You'll still be at number five. You give Miami the number one picks, and now Miami has their choice of quarterbacks. You still have to hope. Who do you have in front of you? You have the Giants, who don't need a quarterback. The Redskins are supposedly going to take Chase Young. And Detroit, who has Matt Stafford, I don't know if they're going to take a quarterback. So you should have the number two quarterback at five, you would think. So do you do that if you're Cincinnati?
If they have even, if they think either of these two is a franchise quarterback, then I don't do that. I don't care how many firsts you get back. If they think either Tua or Burrow can be the guy who puts them over the top, I'm not trading back and risking losing them. Because even if those other three teams in between them don't want a quarterback, they could always make a trade for, or they could always trade.
Someone could trade up.
Not worth that risk.
I totally agree with you. I think you made an excellent point. Don't screw around. When you have a chance to get a franchise quarterback that you have your eye on that can change, you know, the outcome, the landscape, the environment of your franchise for 10 to 15 years to come, don't screw around. You know, but Cincinnati's a team that, you know, could screw around. I don't know, but Dylan makes a good point. Just because the Giants are at number three, Detroit's number three. Giants are four. Skins are two. Cincy's one. Dolphins are five. So just because you make that trade, you get your three first-round picks and have number five, doesn't mean someone's going to... And I would think that someone would try to come to go up and to trade up to get one of those guys.
I mean, Chargers are right near there. They need a quarterback.
Chargers need a quarterback.
I mean, Dolphins might try to trade up. They need a quarterback.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. The Dolphins have the three first-round picks.
Wait, you're saying they would go up to one.
They would go up to one. I wonder who they want. I wonder who they want. Going to be interesting. Going to be very interesting. I like Tua. I'm sorry. I've said that. I've said that for... Give me 1 second here. I'm trying to book a guest. Let's do Steve Callis at 9:30. That would work better. Steve, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry, Dylan. Steve Callis is now booked at 9:30. He'll come on. We'll talk a little bit. He'll be on tomorrow, too. We'll talk about some other things. I didn't even get to Rick Pitino. I mean, while we're at it, we're going around doing national stories, and I'll save it for tomorrow. But I think Rick Pitino going to Iona is a fascinating story, and I know Steve has some things to say about that. In fact, he posted on his Facebook page, speaking of sports with Steve Callis, an interview with a student from Iona or a graduate student from Iona, and talked about the Rick Pitino situation. Very interesting stuff, and Steve will talk about that tomorrow. We'll talk about some free agency with Steve in a little bit. Right now, let's go to Chris in Pensauk, and you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chrissy?
What's up, Big Joe?
How are you, pal?
Oh, man, slamming and jamming, man. My shop's busier than all get out.
That's good, man. That's good.
Phone ain't stop ringing. Are you open? Are you open? I'm like, we'll take care of everybody, man. It's all about...
So you guys are open?
Yeah, it's all about giving back. I own a laundromat. People are, like, concerned, and I must have gave away, gosh, I don't know, in dollars, but at least 30, 40 free wash and folds.
Wow.
Hey, a lot of senior citizens, man. Got to take care of them. I'm old, but I'm
good
only
for
50.
You.
That's a shame.
That's awesome, man. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I got to tell you, man, I usually bash Howie even when he won the Super Bowl. I think he's got a little plan here. It's a little, the vision isn't set, you know, from 100 yards out, but from 50 yards out, you might be able to hit that jackrabbit right between the eyes because he got young, dude, quick. 25-year-old, 26-year-old, 27-year-old, 29-year-old.
That was the idea. That was the idea. They had to get younger. They were just, you know, too old.
Yeah, I love Jenkins, but at the end of the day, I mean...
Yeah, I'm okay with moving on from him.
Yeah, I mean, when we got him, Mills was pretty much the same guy. I mean, he got demoted from being the cornerback. He got shifted to safety. He didn't make it down in New Orleans at safety. They let him go sign with somebody else. I think Mills got all the attributes that Jenkins has. So hopefully he picks up some guidance from playing underneath the guy for the past 3 years.
What do you think of Darius Slay, that pickup?
I love that. I was rooting so bad, Joe. I'm like, please, somebody offer Jones $22 million. Please, 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 get out bid. I never want to get out bid. I never want to lose. Please let me lose. Please let me lose. Please let me lose. You got him for 3 years, so now he's not an anchor. He's still one of the top seven cornerbacks in the NFL, and he's a game changer, Joe. Yeah, is he going to get beat? They all get beat. But that time, instead of you needing a block pass, you need a pick six, he's got it. Jones had two interceptions in, what, 5 years? I like the guy, but... He can change the game like that.
Slay has 19 in 7 or 8 seasons. 19
picks. And here it is. Unfortunately, love her, like her. At times I don't, but she's my wife, so we're all cool. We're best friends. She's a Steelers fan.
Oh, what's up? What's up?
Our family grew up there, and then they moved down to the Northeast. So that old story, my dad was this, my dad was that. I'm like, whatever, you're not a 4-for-4 person. Get my dinner. I'm only kidding if you're listening, babe. Hargrave, I watch 80% Steelers games compared to 100% Eagles games.
Sure.
The dude's a stud.
Oh, he's a total stud. It was a great move. Great pickup.
He's the second best defensive lineman on the team. And I think Howie's concerned about Cox getting a little old under the tooth, man. Every year for the past 2.5 years, we've been hearing the excuse. I don't want no more excuses, man.
I agree. I think he's been a little overrated for a couple of years.
And here's my last two, what he's got to do on the way out, because I know I'm jammed up for time.
No, you're good, man. You're good.
Okay. Yeah, give the family hugs and kisses. I got to tell you, and you're getting older. You're no young chicken either. So as you get older, you know what I mean? You don't always go for the filet mignon. You'll be cool with just the New York strip.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
I'm cool with that.
Just give me a one-year Perryman deal on for like $6 million and sign Joe Flacco. And I'm off to the races, man. I'll play anybody in the
LLC. You're talking about Breshad Perryman?
Yeah.
I agree. Yep. And Joe Flacco would be a tremendous backup here.
Yeah, man, he's a good cat for Carson, and I just think at the end of the day, there's no excuses anymore. 33 players, Joe, listen to this number. 33 players of that Super Bowl team are no longer on that team.
Yep.
So guess what? Howie's doing his part. Doug Peterson, get out of the 12 set, get an 11 set, get a wide receiver, throw the ball downfield, be aggressive, and let's get back to nasty Philly football and not let them have any excuses to fail.
Let's hope so, man. Let's hope
so. Love you, brother.
Love you too, Chris.
Go Birds.
You too, man. Have a great night, Chris. Love Chris from Pensauken. Works his tail off during the day. Night likes to relax at night. Give us a call. Talk some sports. Good job, Chrissy. Hope you're doing well. Hugs to the family. Dylan, I didn't get your input on this. Where do you think the Eagles stand? That's early. It's March 21st, 2nd, whatever it is. Free agency's not even over yet. The draft isn't here yet. We don't know when the draft will happen. If it does happen, it will happen at some point, I guess. Are the Eagles right now better on paper or not as good on paper?
I think the defense is certainly better on paper. I think swapping in Darius Slay, who I thought was the best move they could have made at cornerback. I'm happy they made that move instead of Byron Jones.
Why is that?
It's Byron Jones. I think his contract, it looks the same on paper. It looks like it's the same money-wise, and technically Slay's making more per year, but Jones is going to be there longer, and he's getting more guaranteed money.
Who's a better player?
It depends on what you want. I think Jones probably locks people down more, but Slay is a playmaker too.
See, I think they need playmakers.
And Jones isn't going to get you interceptions.
They need playmakers.
Will.
I agree.
Defenses are kind of switching where it's not as much as shutting the other team down, but getting turnovers at the right time, and that's the type of guy Slay is.
Which they need.
So I'm happy with Slay over Jones. I think the Hargrave signing's great. I don't think you can have enough defensive linemen. I think having him, Cox, Blake Jackson, even Hassan Ridgeway with Brandon Graham on the outside. I don't care as much with Derek Barnett yet, but I don't either.
That's a shame.
But I think they have a much better line, and if they can add maybe a defensive end in the draft, it could be a really, really good line. The offense hasn't improved yet because they've only lost guys on offense, but I feel like if they can get two decent wide receivers, whether it's both through the draft or one through free agency, one through the draft.
Man, but who's left in free agency? Robbie Anderson of the Jets?
I'd take a Breshad Perriman on the right contract.
Okay, Breshad Perryman's available.
Yeah, I wanted him
out of the draft a long time ago.
I don't think he's a game changer, but he's a decent wide receiver.
He's a decent wide receiver.
Could be a big upgrade over the production they had last year.
And here, do they take a 21, a wide receiver, or do they move up?
I think you almost have to take a wide receiver.
Do you move up to get one?
It depends on the situation. If you're down in like where you're thinking one of those top four guys, whether it's Jefferson, Ruggs, Judy, Lamb, or if you think they're all going to be gone, you might have to move up because you need to get that game changer wide receiver. And I think those top four guys can all be game changers.
I agree because they need to replenish their wide receiver core. I mean, Deshaun Jackson's back. What happens to Alshon Jeffrey?
I think they need to get rid of him, however they can. You can't have that.
I would think so too, but don't they take a big hit?
Apparently, if they release him with a June 1st designation, it will still be a big dead cap hit, but it's not as bad. It's not the $20 million cap hit. It's like a 10-something million. Ugh. So it's still bad, but I'd rather take that cap hit than have someone in the locker room who's
gotten old
hurting
and slow
the team.
And people think he's a rat, and I think it's time for him to go. And we'll see about Deshaun. I believe he's 100%, but he does get banged up easily. I think his obliques or whatever, his lower abdomen, I think it's probably 100% or will be 100% by next year. And we only got to see him one game, and
He was good in that one game.
He was very good in that one game, and then he played five plays against the Bears.
You can't count on him.
That's the problem. And I don't know if a rookie wide receiver is going to have a big impact. You would need one. I'm trying to think the last rookie wide receiver that had a big impact.
For the Eagles?
No, anybody.
I mean, last year, I'm blanking on his name. The guy the Seahawks got that the Eagles could have had.
DK
Metcalf.
Yes.
He had a pretty big impact
did.
On
You're
the
Seahawks. You're right. He did. You're right.
And there was a few other. It's not. It used to be you never saw wide receivers have that big of an impact the rookie year, but that's starting to change a bit. You're starting to see guys where maybe they're not the. They come out and they're automatically the best, but they can come out and be productive at least.
Sure.
I don't know if you need. Great wide receivers, but you need good wide receivers. I feel like if you can get two good wide receivers, it completely changes the way the entire offense looks, especially if you can get someone who can be that deep ball threat.
You know what? I forgot to tell the story about Mike Florio. I'll let you do it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how much there is to this, but Mike Florio reported that the Eagles are trying to shop around Rasul Douglas.
Any takers for Rasul Douglas? He's okay.
He's okay. He's got a good knack for the ball. He can be a playmaker in the right situation.
He's a ball hawk.
He was put in a situation that doesn't really like help his skill set.
His skills.
Because he was being put as like the guy where he was almost a number one cornerback at times.
Right.
Where he had to be against the other person's team's best wide receiver a lot of times.
It wasn't his role.
And sometimes they're really fast and he's not a speed guy, but... In a right situation where he's not the number one corner, I think he could be a good player.
I mean, the Eagles need to upgrade their speed at a lot of positions because they it's clear they're not the fastest team around, especially since Deshaun went out and you saw how slow Alshon looked. And Nelson Aguilar's probably the fastest receiver, but he can't count on him. Now he's gone. I still think they did a wonderful job with the practice squad guys to make the playoffs. I thought that was amazing. But they're not going anywhere with those guys. They need to really replenish the wide receiving core. And your boy, number 11, has to stay healthy, man.
That's always most important.
Thing.
I mean, he stayed healthy for 16 games. It's just a shame, right? In the playoffs.
Oh, it was awful. That's such a shame. All right, we got to take a break. Steve Callis coming up on the other side. Good job, Dylan. Dylan McKinnon behind the glass taking your calls at 610-632-0975. If you want to talk to me, you got to talk to him. Everything is on the table tonight. We can talk some Sixers, Phillies, Flyers. We're talking Eagles right now. And we'll get into some other national sports stories probably tomorrow morning because I'm back here, lucky you, 9 o'clock, bright and early to kick it off till noon tomorrow. I'm Joe Stazak, coming right back.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stazak in the house. 9:27, actually just about 9:28 right now. On 97.5 The Fanatic, I'm here till 10 o'clock tonight, back at 9 a.m. tomorrow till noon. We're talking Eagles football. We're talking free agency and who... better to talk football free agency than my man, the sports editor from WestchesterCountyPost.com. He is Steve Callis, good friend of the program. What's up, Steven? How you doing, my friend?
All good, Joe. I was hoping you'd do a 14-hour show tonight, just stay and go all night and do the show in the morning.
Why not? I got to be back here soon anyway, so good point. Appreciate it, brother. Let's talk some free agency. Let's stick with the Eagles first. We're going to have you on tomorrow. We'll talk some other subjects as well, but right now, Eagles made two big moves, I thought. Other than that, there were just some average moves, but Javon Hargrave, the nose tackle, 3 years, $39 million. But the big move was the trade with Detroit, Darius Slay, for a third and a fifth, 3 year, $50 million extension, $30 million guaranteed. What do you know about Darius Slay?
Well, strikes me as they got him awful cheap. I know he had his issues with Patricia, who, you know, all these ex-Belichick guys, I think, want to be Belichick, and they just don't have the cachet or whatever you want to say. But to give him up for a third and a fifth, he's one of the best, what, three, four corners in the league? It's just shocking. I mean, great for the Eagles, obviously. And I did see some interesting stats on Darius Slay. I don't know if I've listened to most of the show, but not all of it. But in the last, this is from ESPN, in the last 3 years, he's allowed 52% completion rate, allowed as the nearest defender to the ball. That's third in the NFL. between Marlon Humphreys, of all people, and, of course, Stephon Gilmore from the Patriots. And he's even better against Pro Bowl receivers. He only allows a 50% completion rate. And that includes, you know, how he shut down Amari Cooper this year, only two catches in Week 11. And now, of course, he'll be playing the Cowboys twice a year. So, you know, that's a big deal. And the other thing, which you probably know also, Joe, is the Eagles allowed 10 touchdowns to perimeter wide receivers of 30 or more yards. Not only did that be, not only was that the worst in the NFL, but the next highest in the NFL was five such catches of 30 or 30 plus yards to perimeter wide receivers. So this guy is a gigantic pickup and a big time player. And frankly, I think he's been lost in Detroit for a number of years, obviously.
He has been. That's where careers go to die, Detroit. You're right, Steve. Now, let me ask you this, because the heart and soul of the team, and that includes Carson Wentz, I think this guy has been the heart and soul of the team for the last 4 or 5 years. Malcolm Jenkins, he wanted more money. He's 32 years old. Apparently, he wanted around $12 to $13 million per year. They were giving him just under $8 million here, and he goes to New Orleans. I know he signs a $9 million signing bonus. He gets that. But other than that, $8 million per year for 4 years, it doesn't seem like he got a whole lot more going to New Orleans. What did you think about the Eagles kind of moving on from him?
Well, I wish they would have gone somewhere in the middle between, you know, what he made and what he wanted, and that probably would have got the job done. Sometimes these things just become spitting contests, frankly. I don't know why he would want to leave. Now, look, you can tell me New Orleans is better than the Eagles and he's got a better chance to win, but he's got that Super Bowl in his pocket already. I thought he'd rather be more of a lifer, if you will, in Philly, where he's so well-respected.
Right.
And is a borderline legend, frankly.
Legend.
I just think sometimes in these negotiations, one side gets really upset, the other side gets really upset, and they just walk away. Because you're right, at the end of the day, if it was really about the money, and you know, everyone says, oh, it's always about the money, but if it was really about the money, I don't see how he would have signed with New Orleans. And I don't know if there, how much back and forth there was with Jenkins or his agent and the Eagles, but it just struck me there was room there in the middle, you know, between 8 and 12. You don't have to be a genius.
Sure.
I just don't know, you know. Jadeveon Clowney's another one. I doubt the Eagles are looking at him. He wants $20 million a year, so he's living in a fantasy world.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying Jenkins is living in a fantasy world, but I am saying I'm surprised he left because, again, so well-respected. The fans love him. The players love him. I just don't know, and I don't know if you'll ever get the real story, but it just struck me as a spitting contest, and he took not less money, but I think he could have got as much or more money from the Eagles than he's getting from the Saints.
I do, too. I thought that was strange. Steve Callis from WestchesterCountyPost.com on the 97.5 Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Steve, they lost Big V, who gave them some depth at offensive line. God bless him. 5 years, $50 million for Detroit. God bless him if you can get it.
You're not going to match that.
Oh, my God. And my guy, you know I love Jordan Howard. 2 years, $10 million. He goes to Miami. Malcolm Jenkins is gone. Their best linebacker, Nigel Bradham, they released. Nelson Aguilar is gone. Corey Clements, an unrestricted free agent. And Jason Peters, probably on his last leg anyway. He's gone. From the subtractions I just mentioned and the additions that you know about, on paper at least right now, do you think they're better or not as good?
I don't think they're better. I think they've lost too many guys.
I do too.
I mean, Slay is a gigantic pickup, and the nose tackle is an excellent pickup. But my goodness, it was like a revolving door, but the door was going one way, out the door.
Right.
I just don't understand it. And I know you were talking to Dylan before and the whole thing with Carson Wentz and his health. I don't know how they're going to address that. You know, everybody breathes a sigh of relief, right? He got through the season, the regular season, and then look what happened to him. So what is that, the fourth year in a row or whatever it's been? You've documented it over and over, and going back to college and those injuries. So that's a gigantic problem. No, I don't think they're better. I think the only good news is the NFC East seems to be getting, frankly, weaker and weaker.
I was just going to ask you about that because you got three new coaches. You got Ron Rivera with the Skins. You have Mike McCarthy with the Cowboys. You have Joe Judge with the Giants. The Cowboys lost Byron Jones, Robert Quinn, Malik Collins, Jason Witten, Randall Cobb, and they can't get a deal done with Dak Prescott. What did you think of that? Because I thought that was the offers they gave Dak were pretty fair, considering where he is in terms of top five, top 10 quarterbacks. What did you think?
Well, I think he thinks he's better than he is. We've talked for how many years now about when Ezekiel Elliott is running great, he's like a first round draft pick, and when Ezekiel Elliott isn't there or running poorly, he's like the fourth round pick that he was. So he really got the shift on the rookie contract, as you know. And, you know, he was making $2 million last year. People forget that. Now he's making $33 million on the franchise tag. So at least he said financially you can make a case for life, even if that's like, I don't know, $20 million after taxes. I don't even know. I can't count that high. But, you know, I think, I don't know why Jerry Jones lowballs this guy. He did play really well last year. You got to give him credit.
He did.
But the Dallas Cowboys historically, as we've talked about for years on your show and the podcast, they've been terrible. I mean, the postseason, they've been a disaster. If they can get to the postseason. So they did switch coaches. I don't think the Giants are going to be very good. I'm sorry. They gave away their defense 2 years ago, and they haven't recovered yet. I don't think Washington's going to be very good. So I think it is the Eagles and the Cowboys again. But you have to give, you know, the Cowboys have more talent than anybody. The question is, can they, anybody in the NFC East?
Right.
The question is, you know, they've had that for years, and what's happened? Very little.
Nothing.
So you're going to find out if it's the coach, maybe.
Yeah, we're going to find out pretty soon.
Isn't he the offensive coordinator of the Giants? You can't make this stuff up.
Can't make it up.
But you know, I think the Eagles still, but the NFC East to me is a very, very weak division, and now with Brady going where he's going, the NFC South strikes me as the best division in football, not just in the NFC. So it's going to be very interesting, but I think the Eagles are still in the mix, but that's because we look at the Cowboys as the gang that couldn't shoot straight, because they've been the gang that couldn't shoot straight for what? I don't know, 20 years, 25 years? I don't know about America's team. I can't believe people believe that anymore.
Still call,
but, man. But they're very talented still. I know they lost guys, but they're still very talented. But you just don't know. Can Mike McCarthy do it? I don't know. Dak Prescott's good. He's no Aaron Rodgers, I'll say that.
Right. He's no Aaron Rodgers. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. All right, Steve. We're going to stick with the NFC East. I want to get to Tom Brady tomorrow, along with Rick Pitino and some other things that you've done.
Yeah, I think, Joe, I think your Patriots source might be calling in tomorrow, just saying.
Okay, all right, good. I appreciate that. No, that's excellent. That's excellent. I'd love to talk to him, your son, Johnny. Okay, Washington sitting at number two. Cincinnati's at number one. If they don't do anything with the Dolphins, I know there's talk the Dolphins might, you know, give them three first-round picks, move up to number one. I don't know if Cincinnati would do that. But Washington sitting at number two. Everyone thinks they're taking Chase Young, the defensive end out of Ohio State, who is a monster and probably a game-changing type player. My contention is they have the number two pick, and there are three franchise quarterbacks out there, I believe, and one that I really believe in from Alabama. I know he hurt his hip, and he's recovering nicely, Tua.
Yep.
Tagovailoa, I can't never pronounce his last name, but Tua is sitting there at number two. Do they pass on him? Because apparently Daniel Snyder really likes Chase Young, but to me, they don't have a franchise quarterback in Dwayne Haskins, and this is their opportunity to get one, in my opinion. What do you think?
Oh, I totally agree with that. The notion that Haskins is going to be based on the play this year, he wasn't even Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Remember the whole thing in New York with how could they take Jones over Haskins? And Haskins was really pissed off at the draft. You know, he was saying some things right on draft day and after the draft. And when they both got to play, and I don't think Jones is that good myself because he's kind of a turnover, interception, fumble machine.
Yeah.
So far, you know, you got to give these guys time. But the notion that to me, that Haskins is the answer, I find that hard to believe. I would. Now, you might like Tua better than Joe Burrow. I like Joe Burrow. If I was Washington, I would try and somehow flip those, because Cincinnati right now, I assume, has to take Burrow unless they like Tua or somebody else. But if I was Washington, for my money, I'd rather have Joe Burrow than Tua, although I agree with you, both of them look like they're going to be top-shelf NFL quarterbacks. I just think what Burrow did, I watched him 5 or 6 times last year, not just in the final four, but what he did under pressure,
phenomenal.
Even a couple times, they rarely got down, but whenever he had to do something to make something happen, whether it be with his legs or his arm or keeping the play alive, he did it over and over and over again. I must have seen him do it 10, 12 times in the last 3 games. So I think he's a little better than Tua. He's more of the profile, if you will. Tua's a little smaller. You got to be a little worried about him injury-wise, frankly.
Sure.
But I think either of those guys, you're right. I think the question would be, who does Cincinnati like? Presumably they like Burrow.
Yes.
I think he might be an Ohio kid, too. I'm not sure. I thought I read that somewhere. And, you know, Andy Dalton is, maybe he'll be a Patriot next year. You know, that's a question for your guest or your caller tomorrow. What are the Patriots doing at quarterback now that Brady's kind of thumbed his nose at him? At least that's my view of what happened. But I think those two guys, I think if you're Washington, I think you have to take a quarterback.
I agree with you. And we are going to say, I'll save that New England info for tomorrow and Jared Stidham and Tom Brady and the NFC South, and then we're going to talk some Rick Pitino. You'll be on at 10:10 tomorrow, is that correct?
Looking forward to it, as always. We got a good video on Rick Pitino that I did with Anthony Sorbellini, who is our intern at WestchesterCountyPost.com. It's up there now at the website. We did it from the Iona students' point of view. Here comes Rick Pitino, Hall of Fame coach, to Iona College, Joe. So I know we'll talk about that tomorrow, but we do have like a 10 or 12-minute video up on the homepage. And I think it's pretty good because he gives you insight that certainly I couldn't give from the students' perspective, and that was pretty interesting.
You can find that on Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis on his Facebook group page, and you can also check out some of Steve's videos at WestchesterCountyPost.com. He is the sports editor there, does a great job, great friend of the program. Hey, buddy, appreciate it. Get some sleep because we're on again in about 12 hours.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, as always.
You too, Steve. Thanks, pal. Appreciate it. Steve Callis on the Comcast Business Hotline. Got to take one more break. I thought I'd just stick with NFC East tonight with Steve, and because I really want to dig into Tom Brady tomorrow, and I will at 9 o'clock. And Steve comes on at 10:10. We'll also talk a little Rick Pitino, some other national stories that are going on. We're just trying to go around the horn and talk about everything we can as we try to get through this sports Armageddon together, because we are all in this together. I'm Joe Stasek, 97.5 The Fanatic, coming back one final segment.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Final segment here, 97.5 The Fanatic. Fourth quarter time. Get those four fingers up. Fourth quarter belongs to us. We are closing out the show tonight. But don't worry, folks. You can wake up to me tomorrow, 9 o'clock till noon. Cannot wait. I'll be back with, I think, Josh Raybeck is my producer. Dylan gets the morning off. He's usually here in the morning, but I guess he gets to sleep. Is that right, Dylan? Or is it you?
I believe it'll be Connor.
Oh, Connor. Okay. Whatever. But it's not you.
No, I'm in. I'll be in after you.
Okay. All right. Cool. Well, you're doing a great job tonight. I appreciate it, pal. And we are closing out the show. We're talking a lot of Eagles football. Steve Callis was on a few minutes ago. We talked about the NFC East. And now the Eagles, I don't think, and he doesn't think, are as good as they were before free agency started. But the good thing is the rest of the NFC East stinks. Cowboys lost a lot of folks. Giants aren't going to be that good. Washington, if they don't take a quarterback, has to deal with Dwayne Haskins for the next 10 years. So it would serve Washington right, because Daniel Snyder loves Chase Young, and he should never be involved in any football decision ever in the history of football. Daniel Snyder should not be allowed to be in any meeting, any decision, any phone call, any text message, any email, because you've seen what he's done with Washington since he's been the owner, and they're about to screw it up again when they take Chase Young instead of a quarterback at number 2 in this year's draft. All right, let's go back out to the phone lines. Mike and Cherry Hill, you're on 97.5. What's up, Michael?
Hey, man, you know, every time I'm on the phone with you, though, y'all, thank you for those Fan Fest tickets, man. You get A.
Oh, you got it, baby. You got any time, man. Anytime,
you know,
wife.
I love you, man, for that, man. It was late night. You remember that night.
I do.
And I made the comment on my life, and you gave me those. You hit me up with those Fan Fest. I don't think Fan Fest is going to happen this year, though, sir. I don't think it's going to happen.
You know, that's a good question. We usually start promoting it right about now. I haven't even thought about that, so I'm not sure what's happening. No one tells me anything around here anyway. I find it out through the grapevine. So when I do find out, I'll let you know.
Okay, and look out for me on the tickets again, because I really appreciate it.
You're hooked up, man. You're hooked up. Trust me.
My man, Joe. I did want to say kudos to your screener. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He sounds like he's healthy, so that's good. You said he's feeling good. How you feeling, Joe?
I feel much better. I was not good last weekend, but I'm really 100% this weekend. Thank you for
all
asking.
All right, Joe. You're a fighter. You're a fighter, Joe. You hang in there. No, I just wanted to talk about, I'm mad. I'm upset, Joe. You may not hear it in my voice, but my favorite eagle, my favorite bird, he's kind of got rid of him, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's not right. You know what I'm saying?
Malcolm Jenkins?
Come on, Joe. You know me. You know it's Malcolm. And, you know, the thing is, he was a big heart and soul of that defense. And
he was a heart and soul of the team.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And he was the hardest. I mean, he was the embodiment of Philadelphia sports, which is hard-nosed, tough, lunch pail, kind of like you, Joe. And so I said to myself, you know, how are they going to replace that? And people are talking about building for the long term. Listen, this is the NFL. You can't build for long. You can't have that type of mentality. That's a losing mentality. You're supposed to try to win. Let me ask you that, Joe. Is your kind of thinking that we have a guy that's going to be around here quarterback-wise for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, and we need to build for the future? Or are you on a mindset of let's try to win when we can win?
Well, they have a window, and I think they have the close to the talent to make a run at things. If Carson Wentz can stay healthy, I think this team can be a contender right now.
That's what I thought. And so other pundits are saying, well, we're building and we're – I said, build what? You know, you had a Super Bowl team a couple years ago. Keep pushing. And so my thing is, in the draft, get some wide receivers. My draft board looks like it's some wide receivers and obviously some linemen, some guys that can block so that you can keep them healthy. Because if he's down, what good is that? I don't understand.
Yeah.
If he's injured all the time, you have to do the best you can to keep him upright.
They're really thin on the offensive line. Michael, I appreciate it, man. I got to run. I got to take one more call.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much. You take care, Joe.
You got it, babe. Have a great night.
All
thanks,
right.
Mike.
All right.
Appreciate it, pal. All right, Scotty and Barrington, my man, going to close down the show. What's up? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scotty?
Brother Joe, can you hear me?
I got you, babe.
Yeah, just want to say thank you guys for getting us through this time, because, man, I know she's got me in the palm of her hand. No sports, bro, but God's going to get us all through, and I want to thank you and everybody at the station. Me, too. I can't stay home working shop right over here in South Jersey. It's been crazy, but...
Nuts, right?
Me and my coworkers to pull through, and we're going to get through this, brother Joe. Real quick, so you and the producer can get out of there. Love you, man. And
you too, man.
We'll go back a long way. My question: give me a little resume on this Will Clark we got from Denver. Once again, brother Joe, I'm out. I'm getting home to my baby. Peace. God bless.
You
Peace.
Too, Scotty. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Dylan, did he say Will Parks? I couldn't hear what he said. I think he said Will Parks. They got a safety from Denver. He's a local guy. We've been at Denver for 4 years. $1 million guaranteed this year. $1.6 million deal. He's another safety they brought in. Decent player, local guy. Could have gone other places and gotten more money, but I think he wanted to come back home and play for the Eagles. What did you think about the move to get Will Parks?
I think it's a good move. He's a solid player. He's not a world beater, but it's good to have that as insurance when you have Ronnie McLeod at safety, who has had some health issues, and Jalen Mills, who is moving to safety, and we haven't seen him play at safety before. So it's good to have that third reliable safety, which is something they just haven't had in the last few years. They haven't had that third guy they can rely on at safety. Now, they have three guys that I can say I'm comfortable with. I'm not blown away by any of them, but Parks is a good player. He can fill kind of a Malcolm role where he can move up in the box and play the run. He can play a little bit of slot corner if he has to. He's not as, maybe as impactful as Malcolm, but he can try to fill that void where Malcolm did so much for them.
Let me ask you something. Why Jalen Mills, who was one of their starting, when he was healthy, one of their starting cornerbacks last year, why move him to safety? Why not move, like, Rasul Douglas to safety?
They might just have more faith in Mills to be able to fill that position. They like his skill set more. I mean, we see they might...
Who's going to be the other cornerback?
He might not be on their team right now.
Okay.
They might want to put... Maddox there or LeBlanc. I know they have a lot of faith in LeBlanc.
They do. I like LeBlanc.
Yeah, he played well when he's had the chance and when he's been healthy. We'll see, but I guess they moved Mills there because they just have the most faith in him.
Okay. Well, I hope so. Dylan, great job tonight, buddy. Appreciate everything you do. Always, I'm Joe Stazak. I'm out of here. I am back tomorrow, 9 o'clock, kicking it off. I'm here till noon. Steve Callis coming on at 10:10. Marcus Hayes as well, and we will rock and roll, talk about more free agency. I want to get into the Tom Brady stuff a little deeper, and we'll even talk a little college hoop to fill the void that March Madness has left. All right, I'm Joe Stazak. Thanks for listening, everybody, and thanks to Steve Callis for calling in. Dylan McKinnon, appreciate it, buddy, and we will talk to you all later. God bless. I'd say enjoy the games, but there are no games, so just enjoy whatever the hell you're doing tonight, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Late.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.